Simon Reel 1, where were you born, please?
Birkenhead.
Which year was this?
1919.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Birkenhead?
Yes.
Which school did you go to?
Mersey Park, sorry, Woodchurch Road, Junior School, and Temple Road Central School.
Your father wasn't in the shipbuilding, was he?
He was.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
Did you get a job?
Yes.
Doing what?
Van boy in the corporate department.
Did you not want to go into shipbuilding yourself?
I did. It was disallowed.
By whom?
By my father.
On what grounds?
He had had a bad time in it. He didn't want me to have the same sort of life.
What was the bad time?
Well, he was pulled out of the RNVR in 1914 to go back to Camel Lurds because he was a shipwright and a reserved occupation. He spent the whole war working on warships, and at the end of the war there was a slump, and he was put out onto the, what we called the stand in those days. People went to the stand to pick up new labour, but there was very little doing. So he got himself a job as a ship's carpenter and went to sea. First in the Bibby Line, which went to Rangoon, and secondly into the Blue Funnel Line, which went to China, Australia and China. He had an accident between ships and put him in hospital. He should have been probably met and properly examined by a good doctor before he signed on again. And due to this head injury, he had a cerebral hemorrhage and was buried at sea in the Indian Ocean.
What job were you doing when war was declared?
I was an accounts clerk in a Lamport and Holt Line shipping office.
Had you joined the TA?
I had.
When was that?
1938.
Why had you done that?
In the shipping industry in Liverpool at that time, there was a firm called Bahr Berend, B-A-H-R-B-E-H-R-E-N-D. And one of their principals, Arthur Beren, was a captain in the Heavy Akak Regiment in Aigburth. And he, knowing all the principals of his shipping offices and wanting to recruit shipping men to join his unit, he visited all in turn, and our managing director gave us permission to join if we wished, agreeing to us having the extra time to go to summer camp and whatever the TA required of us.
So, which unit of the TA did you join?
70th Heavy Akak Regiment, 212 Battery, based in Aigburth Road, Liverpool.
And what equipment did it have?
3-inch anti-aircraft, 1918 war weapons.
What were you trained to do in it?
Arriving late, I was trained to be a Lewis gunner and a spotter. Right, traversing telescope.
Had you expected a war to break out when you joined up in 38?
Yes. In fact, we were called up for the Munich crisis in September 1938.
And what happened?
Well, we stood by in Aigburth without any weapons, but we were going to be called if we were required. We were there for a week, and then we were stood down. We had been to a summer camp that year, and fired guns at Manavir in Pembrokeshire. Following the Munich crisis, the government changed the scheme for the TA, particularly for the anti-aircraft regiments, that they were to go to a firing camp for 2 weeks, and then to the, where their base was going to be in a case of war. Now, we were allocated to go to Manchester. The first 2 weeks we went to Wigtonshire, near to Stranraer, where we did our firing camp. And then we went down to Eccles, which is near to the Manchester, what is now the Manchester Airport.
You said you were a spotter. What was a spotter supposed to do?
Well, he's supposed to know the aircraft image, recognise the type, and the aircraft.
And presumably have good eyesight.
I had then.
Did you use binoculars?
No, there was, we had a towering telescope on a bipod, which in the anti-aircraft, everything has to be levelled on bubbles, and this was levelled on bubbles. We had, apart from the spotoscope, we had height finders, predictors, and the guns, of course.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
No. I was on guard at the gate when the lady came by and said, "We've declared war." All our troops were in the on church parade in St. Andrew's Church in Aybrook.
How did you feel about it?
Like all young men did at that time, they'd been brought up on the horrors of the First World War, and we expected the same.
What happened to you after that?
I served as a gun crew member. You had 10 men in the crew, in a team. And the site became operational. And referring back to the spotter, there was some gunfire over Gladstone Dock. And 5 aircraft flew down the Mersey at, 100 feet. And I spotted them as Hamden bombers and reported that as such. But someone else had jumped the gun. I don't know whether they were injured or not, but there we are.
So they were fired on?
Yeah. The Hamden was an aircraft shaped like a suitcase with an umbrella across it. It had a long, thin tail.
Where were they flying?
Well, I presumably they were flying to Manchester.
Along the Mersey?
Yes, yeah.
When would this have been?
This would have been, I think, November.
What do you remember happening next?
Nothing much. We didn't do anything. Very much. There was no activity at all over Liverpool or over our area whatsoever. And then we were told we had to pack up and we went to Scapa Flow to ostensibly to join to protect the fleet. And we took up a gun site with no guns and no accommodation on the mainland, the main island that is. And the fleet were on the other side of the sound. Eventually, our guns arrived, and we all acted as stevedores to discharge sections of wooden huts from the quayside at Kirkwall. And we acted as stevedores, discharging sections of wooden huts first thing we've seen in what was fabricated building, and hauled them to the gun site. Eventually got it into action. Incidentally, these timber-built accommodation, the engineers put piles in, wooden piles into the ground, and these were laid on top of that. So there was always an airflow underneath. But in addition to that, because of the strong winds up in the Orkneys, we had to sort of guide them down with wire ropes. So they went a long way.
Did any enemy aircraft come over?
Yes. They attacked the fleet on one particular night, and it was a real firework display. There was a French battleship there, and she was firing red and green tracers. And the method of attacking the fleet by the Germans was that they flew in from the sea over the fleet where they knew were lying, and whatever they did, we never heard if there were any damage or any bombs dropped. But in order to get away quickly, they dived down at what you would call 0 feet over the flow and came straight over us. We couldn't fire at them at all. The only thing we could do is fire any Lewis guns we had. And there was a very, I could see that this old chap, who was our cook, he'd been in the First World War. And you could see his traces all the way around the belly of this aircraft, but we don't know whether he damaged it or not.
So you were firing at your Lewis gun?
I wasn't firing the Lewis gun. No, I was a gun number on a 4-5 heavy attack gun at this time.
So you changed your job?
Oh, yes.
When would this attack have been, do you think?
Well, we didn't go to Scapa until February. It would be March or April, I think.
Was this the only one attack at Scapa Flow?
Yes, that's all. There was occasional rumours that there was attacks from other directions, but we never saw anything.
What were living conditions like for you there?
Oh, pretty grim. It was 7 miles to Kirkwall. And you got out into Kirkwall once a month, perhaps, for a few hours. But the people up there were very good. There was church, army, hostels. Not hostels, exactly, but tea rooms, you know, canteens.
Did any of your unit fall sick there?
I don't recall any.
Coming back to the attack, about how long do you think it lasted?
Oh, a couple of hours. A couple of hours is a long time in an air raid. Could have been less than that.
How much did you personally see of it?
Only the fact that the fleet were throwing up. It was at night time, you see. And there were no searchlights up there at that time.
Do you think the...
We didn't have radar either.
Do you think the enemy did much damage?
As I say, I didn't hear of any.
Any other incidents that happened to you at Scapa?
Very quiet. Very boring, in fact. Because with the Aurora Borealis, you had very, very strange hours when you had to be on standby.
Were you happy there or unhappy?
Unhappy. I wanted to be at home. I had a widowed mother and a girlfriend I wanted to get engaged to.
When did you leave Scapa then?
October.
All the unit?
Yes.
Why did you leave?
Well, we all left together. We were ordered to Manchester, to our official wartime site.
Whereabouts in Manchester?
That was, what was it called now? Blackbourne Road.
Which part of Manchester is this?
It's on the Oldham Road.
What was the nature of the site that you used?
Alongside, well, very short distance was Avro's, the Lancaster bomber manufacturers, and Ferranti's, the electrical engineering works.
So you were protecting them?
That's right.
Did you have the same equipment?
Yes, the same four or five heavy attack guns, but we had radar then.
Was that of much use?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Did you use the radio personally?
Yes.
What exactly did you do to use it? What was the method?
Well, your transmitter sends a beam of electricity to anything in the sky, and it beams back to your receiving set. And with the theory's gone now that with the electronic equipment we had, we could tell what height and angle that the aircraft was flying, and what direction. And this information was fed to the predictor, which is in the centre of the gun position, with four men around it, one estimating or predicting the distance, predicting the passage which way it was going, and producing the elevation for height to transmit to the guns. And the guns used to get the same information and follow the Travis man would follow the needle to bring keep his instrument on that needle by traversing the gun, and the other one would get the height of it by turning his handle so the gun came up or went down, whichever direction he had.
Were you working on the radar screen?
I wasn't working on the radar screen then. I learned theory in India. But at that time, we had this information all came into a box in the bottom of the gun, in which one of these 3-foot-6 shells could be put in. And it was my job to predict the fuse, which was the fuse setting on the shell, so that it would explode at the correct height that all this information being fed through to would make it explode.
What rank did you have by then?
Gunner.
Did many raids take place in the event?
Oh yes, it was very, very heavy in Manchester, particularly over Christmas. It was started about a week before Christmas, and we'd fired so many rounds that we had to be stood down on New Year's Eve in order to change the barrels. And this was a 24-hour job. The gun had to be almost dismantled, the barrel drawn out onto a platform, and then taken away to ordnance. The new barrels would be brought in, and you had to reassemble the gun, in effect. So this was done on all four guns on the site.
So how long were you out of action for?
24 hours.
Seems quick.
Well, you had to be quick in that time.
Can you describe the raids?
Well, it was everywhere, really. It was all over the Manchester area. See, Manchester is built in a bowl, and at times you couldn't see Manchester for the mist and fog. So our friends and relatives living 40 miles away over here, if they couldn't see Manchester, they went and bombed Liverpool. So Liverpool got more damage than anything that Manchester did. Mind you, Manchester did get a lot of damage. I mean, after one particular raid, I was allowed to have a visit from the family. They came to Lightbourne Road to see me, and the trains were all off on Manchester Central Station. So I went to Manchester with them to get them to a bus where they'd pick up a train at a late further down the line. And I remarked to them this day, there was a car outside the cathedral with a huge slab of masonry on top, and it was just squashed.
How much success do you think your battery had against the raid?
You honestly wouldn't know. Because you would be doing the system, you'd be firing on the system I told you about. On another occasion, you might have to fire a barrage. You'd be dictated a fuse and an angle and a height to fire at. And you just go banging away. And probably it could be over some more important works than we were guarding.
How frightening were the raids?
You didn't bother about them, no.
Why not?
They didn't try to attack us. I don't suppose they could really pinpoint where we were firing from.
Did any bombs fall near you?
No. None at all.
Were Averroes or Ferrantes hit?
Ferrantes was hit on a later date by one of what they called a Baedeker raid. One single airplane would come over and pick a target and try and have a go at it. We chased him, but he did drop a bomb and knocked the corner of the building away.
So that was whilst you were there?
Yeah. That was in daylight.
How do you think public morale stood up to the Blitz in Manchester?
Well, we couldn't do wrong with the people around about. Well, while we were firing our guns, we were protecting them to their view.
So did they do anything for you?
Oh, yes. I think we gained the piano. And saxophone, and all the local girls came into our dances when we didn't need to be on duty.
But were they bringing you food and drink?
No. We had an Afri canteen there for that.
What was your attitude to the enemy who were carrying out the bombing?
The same as everyone else. We had a job to do, and we tried to do it as well as we could.
But was there any hatred of the pilots?
Oh, yes, but that was endemic, isn't it?
Did any come down near you?
No.
Do you remember any specific buildings or streets that were hit, apart from Ferrantes?
Well, the centre of Manchester was blitzed, yes. Particular sites, I couldn't tell you.
So they did manage to hit the centre?
Oh, yes. Quite a lot.
Did you ever run out of ammunition?
No. We're very fortunate that way.
How did you like doing this job?
Not a part of life. We were in the army. We had to do it.
How long were you there on the Oldham Road for?
Until, let's see, about November 41.
So you were there more than a year?
Yes. And then we moved to what we called an auxiliary site at Stockport, where there were 3 7-inch guns which we were going to convert to, which meant a reduction in personnel, smaller gun teams. And this was a mobile gun, and we were preparing to go overseas, you see, with the mobile guns.
But were German raids still going on by November 41?
Oh, there were. I think London was still getting raids. Some of them.
But in Lancashire and Cheshire?
No, very little. I mean, during 1941, it was very, very desperate. I mean, I had a week's leave, and we were sitting underneath the stairwell, and this was in Birkenhead, and the Germans dropped landmines. Tranmere, where I lived, was on the high point, and it sloped down to Lower Tranmere and Camel Lurds, and they were dropping landmines in order to hit Camel Lurds. Some of them, of course, maybe in the wind or anything like that, dropped on the top of the Tranmere, and we had one behind our house, and it blew the glass out of the doors and windows, and in fact I had my feet up against the door, such as the one leading into the hall, and there was slivers of glass in it when we opened the door. All this time my mother was in hospital dying of cancer.
What was your address in Tranmere?
In Oldenford Road.
Do you remember the number?
76.
Oh, which month would that have been, do you think?
Well, she died in the August. Must have been June, July, something like that.
1941, of course.
1941, yes.
Any other raid you remember on Tranmere or Birkenhead?
Only when I was at home, at all. And I saw across the river, it was the African oil mills, a very inflammable sort of place, and they were bombing Liverpool, and I saw those go up, and there was terrific conflagration.
Was that before or after the other one you've just described on Tranmere?
It would be about the same week, because I never slept in bed that week.
Did you use the public shelters?
No.
Why not?
Well, we had this place under the stairs. In fact, I don't know where the public shelter was.
Any other memories from the bombing of Britain that you were in personally?
No. None at all.
So you were telling me that you had these mobile guns and were preparing to go abroad towards the end of 41.
Yes.
If you can take it from there, please. Yeah.
And we went from there to Southend-on-Sea, Lee-on-Sea, for kitting out. Overseas khaki, pith helmets, and full equipment. And we left Southend for Glasgow about the 14th of March, 42. I think we sailed on the 16th of March.
How did you feel about all this?
Again, it was the war. You went where you were told to go. And the big convoy, we were on a ship called the Orion, which was part of the Orient Line at that time. And we went into